Ephesians chapter 5. And here this afternoon, what I had told you in our study of the book of Ephesians, that in chapter 4 there was a transition that was made from church issues and church type of subjects to personal issues and personal points. That happened in chapter 4. And here in this chapter 5, in verses that we looked at last time, coming here from verses, say, 15 on through 21, what's being taken up here is essentially the headship of Christ. That's the overall subject is headship. And so last time we left it off here in chapter 5, verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to ask you two questions for this afternoon for you to consider as we look over, and I'm just namely going to read over the balance of this chapter. But how do you believe, and how are you and I about submitting? How many of us like to submit? Nobody raise their hands. We need to be willing to submit. As the children of God, we need to be all about submission. That's how salvation comes. Now, we need to submit to the right one, okay? So, how are we about submission? Okay. Second question is, do you ever disassociate yourself from the church? Do you disassociate yourself from the church? Do you think in your mind and your heart as you say the word church that the church is over there and you're over here? Now, I'm talking about our context is Olmsted Baptist Church. Sometimes we'll hear comments about, well, whatever y'all decide down there, blah, 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 blah. And I can understand this. What's another one? We might get something in for the building, okay? I can't think of something right now. Like, say we got a new pulpit, and it would be said, well, your pulpit's in. That's not my pulpit. It's our pulpit. Well, your refrigerator's in. Well, no, it's not. Maybe I might have had the idea for the refrigerator, but it's ours. We're the church. Do you ever disassociate yourself from the church? Don't. Don't disassociate yourself from the church. Because when it comes to important things, do you want to be disassociated from the church? When the Lord comes back for His church, do you want to be disassociated from that? No. So don't disassociate yourself for the church. Some of my family, I want to get the head thing fixed because this cord's driving me nuts. So some of my family would say, they down there believe so-and-so, and they were talking about the church they were a member of. Now, we may not agree in every whit of our doctrine, but it's what we believe, isn't it? Okay? So let's just read this. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's the context. It's not a dictatorship. I'm not the dictator, the king, or the prince telling the people what to do. I have a leadership position as being pastor, but I'm not the end all. Who's the end all? Word of God, Jesus. Amen? Yeah, that's the end all. If I bring something to you that's not based on the Word of God, then you need to reject it, even if it's me. Yeah, because it's the Lord that we're serving here. So it is relative to the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. What the Lord says goes first. It is preeminent. He is preeminent. right? Jesus is preeminent. So, how do you believe? How do you feel? If you, I hate to use that word feel, but how do you think about submission, and how do you ever disassociate yourself from the church? Okay, let's read. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Man, we preachers, we like to jump all over that one. All right, we've heard it. We've heard our lives. It's not that it's not true. May God help us not abuse it. Because that's not the only verse in Ephesians chapter 5. Okay? It is so. You ladies, you that are married, you do need to submit to your own husbands. Because what's it say? As unto the Lord. It's just like your husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. The way you submit to your husband is the way is to be the way you submit to Christ. And I didn't say it. It's what the Word of God says. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. If your husband wants you to sin, well, you shouldn't do that. But if your husband, otherwise, if it's not wickedness or sin, you need to submit to it. And here's verse 23, because, or for, the husband is the head of the wife. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord said that. And you know why? You know why the Lord has set it up this way? Because it needs to be this way. It's good for us. It's not bad for us. And this doesn't mean that women are and wives are floor mats. It doesn't mean that. But that's the order that God has set, and we'll be taking a look at those things. Because the husband is the head of the wife, and here's the parallel, even as Christ is head of the church. Just that way. So who's the head of the church? Who's the head of Olmsted Baptist Church? It's to be Jesus Christ. Can we buck against that? We sure can. We can buck against that. Who is the head of each of you ladies that are wives? Who's your head? Your husband. Can you buck against that? You sure can. But it's not the way it's to be, is it? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And so it goes on and adds about that. Do you want to disassociate yourself from the church? Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. I don't want to be disassociated from that. Do you? No, not at all. I enjoy that. I enjoy having a Savior, don't you? And that has not only saved our souls, but then given us this great thing in the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, it's just matter of fact, isn't it? That's the way the apostle's addressing it, isn't he? It's just that way, isn't it? Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, he's just supposing that that's, everybody knows that. And it's just the way that it is, right? Everybody in the church is submitting to Christ, right? I mean, that's just he supposes that. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. So now it takes it back to that. I tell you what, this is not the end of the matter, but a church that doesn't have wives that are being subject to their husbands may have a church that's not being subject to the Lord. Now, it's not all the whole piece of pie, but it's a piece of the pie. Okay? Brother Jim, there you are. You're beating up on the women folk again. No. I didn't put it in the scripture the order that it is because there's more to it. There's more to it. And so, but these things are here for us to consider. See, the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and so we see subject, same word as submit in verse number 22, same word as submitting in verse number 21. Same word, same Greek word. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, submit to your wives. Is that what it says? No, it says to love them. It says to love them. Well, how do I love them? Well, here's your measure. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how much to love her. Does the scripture say, make her submit to you? It doesn't say that, does it? It says to love her. To love her. Have your heart and your mind and all your soul set on her for the best for her. That's what Christ did for us, didn't he? Now, is Christ spoiling the church? Not in a frivolous way, but has he not spread upon us a bountiful blessing? Yeah, he has. So he's not frivolous, right? But he sure does love her, doesn't he? Yeah. Because you know what? He gave his life for her. You know what you're supposed to do, husbands? Are you willing to give your life for your wife? If your answer is no, your heart is wrong. You and I are to be willing to die for our wives. And if you're not, your heart's not right. Now, are we subject to failure? Are we subject to fear? Are we subject to a lack of courage? Sure we are. So in this, brethren, we need to take this to the Lord, that the Lord help us with this too. Now, I asked Stephen when he wanted to marry, he behaved like he was sweet on Natalie. He just had to have her for his wife. And I asked him, I said, you willing to die for her? Because as a father, that's the kind of commitment I'm looking for, a man that's looking to marry one of my daughters. Because that's right. That's right. And I believe that he does. Because that's the example given to us. Now, do you want to disassociate yourself from the church and from the Lord who is willing to give his life for you? You want to disassociate yourself from that? When does this associate yourself from the Lord's church? Him having put you in her? No, I want to be there. Don't you? Amen. Yes. Yes. May God help us that our attitude be along this line. If I'm not mistaken, it was Debbie, Sister Debbie, my sister-in-law, Brian's wife. It was her dad that said, if I'm not there for whenever the church has a business meeting and you all vote to buy for Estelle, I think that's what he said, I'll do my part to try to get it done and get her bought. Because see, the man's attitude, and I love Orville, I don't say that just to pump him up, I love Orville and I praise the Lord for Brother Orville, but his attitude was, I'm in the church, I'm with her. It's not about what you all decide to do. It's about what we decide to do. And if that night, if I happen not to be there, I'm still in on it. You know, of course, unless it's wickedness or that. But he's saying, if the leadership of the Lord is in the church to pursue this, then I'm with you. I'm in it. Because he loved the church and loved the Lord that put him in his church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's what the Lord's purposing to do. And so and we as his children, we've got a responsibility to be pursuing that. Are you taking the Word of God in you? Are you taking the Word of God in you? That's how you'll be washed. That's how you'll be cleaned. I've given the example. I liken my life to a bucket that's been shot with a shotgun. You pour that water in there and it runs out. But you know what? You keep on pouring that water in there. That sucker, it's got holes in it. That's the way my old man, this old life is. But you know what? It'll get washed out. It'll get washed out. You know what? If you don't pour the water in it, it'll get rusty and cruddy and nasty. Holes will start plugging up. Get kind of yuck. But with the washing of the Word, it'll be cleaned up, won't it? It'll be helped out. They might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, not having wrinkle, or any such thing. I propose to you there that he present it to himself not a naked church, but a clothed church, a righteous church, a church that has no shame. Okay? So ought men, verse 28, to love their wives as their own bodies. I'm no fine example of manhood and manliness and handsomeness, but I like me. I like these hands. I like my legs, because I wouldn't be the same without them and my neck and my body and all that. I'm pretty particular to them. You're that way about your body too, right? We love ourselves, because when something's looking to get us, when the car door's looking to shut and get us pinched, we pull away, don't we? Because we don't want hurt. When you're holding that spike or something for your brother to drive it in the ground, you're pretty particular about him hitting it on the top of it, aren't you? Because you like your hand. Maybe if you don't trust him, you get a pair of pliers. Right? Because we like ourselves. We don't walk out in the road when cars are coming because we don't like getting hit by cars. We love our bodies, right? Well, that's the way we care for our own bodies is the way that we should love our wives, brethren. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Never understood a man, and the word is that he was saved, if I understand it right. He was saved later on in life and even ran into some terrible health problems in that. But he would come to work and at break time fuss and complain and carry on about his wife. I mean, just terrible. Run her down. This man was in his 20s. His wife was in her 20s. They were young. They had been married many years at all. And he would just run her down. Bad. I said, Robbie, did you ever think about what you're saying? You take your wife, and at break time, most of the time, you are running her down, telling her how dumb she is and how stupid she is and how silly she is and all that. Did you ever think that she was the woman that agreed to marry you? She agreed to marry you. What's that make you? Think about it. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Here's a parallel again, even as the Lord the church. You want to disassociate yourself from the church? Let us not disassociate ourselves from the church. We may not agree with what the church does. So what we do when we don't agree, maybe we don't agree with a move that the church makes. Maybe we don't agree with a doctrine in particular. I'm just going to say a non-distinctive doctrine, a doctrine that's not a Baptist distinctive, say, and we disagree with that. You know what we should do? We should not look to cause a fuss in the church about it, but we should pray that the Lord will show what's right. If I'm wrong, Lord, show me what's right. You know, me being the one that said we would disagree. If the church is wrong, or the standing of the church is wrong, the Lord would show the church is what's right. Or the Lord would show us all what's right. Could be that we might both be wrong. It could be. And that's a way that the Lord loves his church. He cherishes his church. He's interested in nurturing and edifying his church. And that's a way it should be in our marriages and to our wives, brethren. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. You know, we, in that sense, in by our membership, the placement of the Lord of us in his church, in that sense, we are married to Christ. That's the reason that when from our number, those that are not of us depart from us and they go away of a body or a group that's not doctrinally sound in regards to being a Baptist and being distinctive, that's the reason that we can't just let them pass, but as the case was this afternoon, had to pursue that disciplinary action. It's got to be. We're married to Christ. If you've been put in the church, you just don't walk away from the church. You just don't do it. You just don't do it because the church is of utmost importance to the Lord. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. We are, in a sense, one flesh with Christ. In that parallel of marriage, and so it is in the church. As it is in the church, so it is in marriage. This is a great mystery, verse 32. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Oh, you weren't talking about women submitting to their husbands? No. Because everybody understands it's the way it ought to be, right? You mean you weren't talking about a husband loving his wife? No, not in particular. I was talking about mainly about the Lord and his church. That's because who's he talking to? The church at Ephesus. Does it make those things that he said about marriage untrue? Does it break the parallels? No, it doesn't. They're there. And I find it somewhat amusing how the apostle assumes that the church there knows that and believes that and follows that. Well, it should be that way amongst us. Look here what goes on to say. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. He says, now I'm getting down to talking about your relationship and your marriage. Love your wife, brethren. Love your wives. Love the wife that God has given you. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Love her the way you love yourself. You want it for you, you want it for her. That's what the Lord has done. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. You know what that word reverence means? It means fear. I want to give you one example of that, and we'll take a look at more of it. Well, I don't like the idea of fearing my husband. Well, let's see what the scripture says here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. And the rendering here is reverence, and that's appropriate, of course. I mean, it's in the scripture that's there. Same Greek word here in Matthew chapter 20, chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, who's that? Joseph. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. He had doubts, didn't he? He said, she's with child. Our marriage isn't consummated. This is going nowhere fast. But the angel said, don't fear to take her to your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. One more example here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 26, same Greek word. This is what we read this morning here about John's, the authority of John and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, verse number 24, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, we will say, and he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for I'll hold John as a prophet. Well, what'd they fear the people? That they'd have a revolt on their hands and that they would be rejected as leaders. So back in Ephesians chapter 5, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, don't ever, ever, never, ever talk bad about your spouse to anybody else. Don't ever run your spouse down. To your nearest and dearest of friends, to your family, don't ever run your spouse down. Don't do it, because it takes your marriage and it puts fractures in it. It puts hurt in it. So, well, he isn't doing me right. She's not submitting to me the way I think she should. You know who you've got to talk to? The Lord. But don't ever run your spouse down. For sure don't run them down in public. Because it's not representative of the Lord in His church. Does the Lord do that to His church? Does He run her down in public? You won't find in the Lord running. Does He deal with His church? Sure does. He'll go right to her and He'll come right here and He'll deal with us, won't He? Right? He will. He loves us. He cares for us. But He won't make our business somebody else's business, will He? That's right. He won't do it because it's not their business. It's our business. So, brethren, love your wives. Sisters, love your husband. Reverence your husband. Submit to your husband. Child of God, submit to the Lord. Child of God, having been placed in His church, don't disassociate yourself from the church. Always make your reference to the church, we, us, together. Because if the Lord's put you here, He doesn't want you cutting yourself out. Amen? Amen. Okay. If you're here and you're not saved, we pray that the Lord will help you to see your need of Christ and repent of your sins and trust in Him. That's what you need. You need the Lord Jesus Christ.